right, g'day Novocastrians, and welcome to the Jetstream podcast presented by NewcastleFootball.net. It's just Ferns again this week. This is for your second finals episode. I've been able to get hold again of some of my fellow podcasters, but unfortunately I was not able to get hold of anybody from the Melbourne Victory. So we extend our thanks again to Ben from the Roarcast and to Blaine from Far Post Perth podcast. And we also thank Southie, from who's a Sydney FC fan, who was able to come on and talk about their teams, previewing the game. The two guys from Perth and Brisbane reviewed their games from last week, and Southie gave us a bit of an overview of their season, how it unfolded, and a preview for their game on Saturday night against Perth Glory. As I said, I wasn't able to get anybody from the Melbourne Victory, so stuff them, we won't talk about them. All right, don't forget, click the episode notes for all the contributors and our details, or to contact us or subscribe. All the relevant links are in there in the episode notes, including our new YouTube channel. Like we said last week, we hope to be utilizing that a lot more in the coming seasons, and we also plan to be using our YouTube and our Facebook Live videos on the 5th of May when we present the Jetstream Newey Awards for 2017 to the players that you voted for the best players in the relevant categories. All right, so the second week of finals sees the two semi-finals. Sydney FC will be hosting Perth Glory at Allianz Stadium, 7:50 p.m. on Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon, 5 p.m. kickoff sees Melbourne Victory hosting the Brisbane Roar. So what we're going to do now, we're going to jump to Southie from Sydney FC to get the Sydney FC perspective, and then we'll hear from Blaine from the Far Post Perth podcast about the Perth Glory, and then we'll finish up with Ben from the Roarcast talking over Brisbane. So here we go with Southie. All right, well, we're very happy to be joined by Sydney FC fan Steve Southworth. Southie, mate, thanks very much for joining us on the Jetstream.
You're welcome, Ferns. Always a pleasure.
Mate, it's been a long time coming. We've tried to get you on a couple of times before. You've always shied away from the publicity, but it's good you've actually been able to jump on now, so that's good stuff.
Oh, mate, I'm a techno retard. I don't know how to use Skype. This is the first time I've used it in about 10 years, I reckon.
Yeah, I can tell by the profile picture. Mate, well, you're facing Perth Glory on Saturday. Now, what we'll do, we'll talk over your season first of all, and first things first, congratulations to you guys for winning the Premiership. Obviously, clearly the best team in the league all season by a long way, apart from a minor blip in one of the derbies, so I don't think you're really going to care too much about that, considering how everything ended up. How has everybody seen how's the Sydney FC supporters seen the season overall?
Mate, it's a bit surreal, to be honest. We haven't won anything in 7 years, except for some shitty Townsville Cup trophy, which doesn't really count.
Yep.
But to be honest, it's a weird feeling when you go following a team for so long with nothing, and then you start winning. You keep waiting for that section where you're like, when are we going to wake up or actually lose a few games? And it just hasn't come. So it's been a bit of a ride, though. You know, players coming, you know, German leaving, Georgie boys coming in, good replacement. But honestly, it's a bit surreal for us.
Do you put the success down to Arnie's recruitment, or do you think it was a number of factors, including recruitment, or is there any one thing you reckon was... Because obviously last year, after last season, the Arnie out brigade was getting a bit vocal, and he sort of said, well, look, give me one more year and we'll see what happens. And then obviously he's turned around and won the Premiership. Do you put that down to any number of, like a specific factor, or do you think it was just a slow and steady build from the work he's done?
Look, to be honest, we had a lot of dead weight. No offence to Tavares and Fadi, good guy. But they particularly weren't doing the roles that they were recruited for. But you always have, when a new coach comes in, and a coach comes in at any point, you have remnants of an old team that someone else recruited. I really think this is now Arnie's full team. Obviously, you could say that last year, I think, you know, there was still some bad teamwork there. This year he's gone with, like, doing psych tests. He's got motivational speakers in. He's Andrew Clark's running like rampant. Like he's making these guys the fewest people I've ever seen. There's a few different things. Even the play management from Terry McFlynn has been outstanding.
Yep. Well, obviously, I mean, something we've been harping on at the Jets for, you know, years on years now. I think it's been mentioned a multitude of times by us on the podcast is you've got to spend the money in the backroom staff to support the other. You can't just run with like a coach, a strength and conditioning coach, a goalkeeping coach, and that's it. You've got to have you get the best out of your squad when you've got these other ancillary coaching roles, if you like, helping to support the coach, and so he's not having to do all this stuff on his own. He's actually able to farm out the stuff that ordinarily would be on one bloke's head to a number of other people who are more professional at it than he would be. And yeah, I completely agree that if that's what you guys have seen with what Arnie's done at Sydney FC, it just goes to show that success will come when you have not just recruitment on your playing squad, but decent recruitment in your coaching staff.
Well, to be honest with the recruitment drive, they've got a good guy, Dougie Cores, actually an old Cove member, who does video analysis of every game, and him and McFlynn went through 190 profiles to find Bobo.
Right.
So they didn't. The search wasn't tiny. It was, whilst it was a Holosco referral, they went through 190 different striker profiles to find the player that they were looking for. So, yeah, you're right. Spend money to make money.
And obviously you've seen with the performances from your from all of your imports, and that's obviously one of the major factors that can make a team successful. You've got to have most of your imports, if not all of your imports, firing. And Sydney's imports this season have really stepped up. Obviously, you mentioned Bobo, Ninkovic, Holosco. They've all really stepped up.
Yeah, mate. Look, if you look at the Sydney goal tally, none of them are there winning the Golden Boot in the A-League. But overall, as a team, we've scored the most goals because the goals are coming from all across the park. You've got Bobo, Holosco, Ninkovic, Brosk, all scoring goals. Most of them are in double figures. So when you think about it, it's not one. The team's not singly pivoted on one player.
Yep.
Goals are coming from everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, is Sydney FC going to fall victim to the usual successful team trap where, you know, a team's successful one season and then in the off season players will depart or go be picked off by other teams to boost their own playing rosters? How many of these guys are coming off contract? And do you anticipate any large-scale turnover in the off season, or do you think you're going to be able to hold on to most of these guys?
I think there's a cultural thing here of building a team that's great. And most of the players buy into the fact that, you know, especially Broski and a couple of the older players, they're like, well, we'll take a little bit of a pay cut so we can keep some of the better younger players along. So I think building a dynasty would be attractive for some players, but not all. And I know there's players overseas, i.e. Ali Abbas, who just wants to come back and play for Sydney. There's been a cultural change at the club, and it's been good for it.
Do you put that all down to Graham Arnold?
I would put it down to a combination of Graham Arnold and Terry McFlynn.
Good. Well, yeah, it helps to have one of your original players around the traps trying to turn the fortunes of your club around.
What do you think? Terry McFlynn was basically almost a backpacker coming over and playing, you know, for Sydney FC first season. That guy loves the club. He's not the best player. He never was the best player, but he will always have the biggest heart for the club. And when you have someone who loves their job and loves the club, of course they're going to do a good job. Their passion is there for the club, and that's what every club needs. Someone passionate. You've got Archie Thompson at Victory. You've got, you know, Brisbane Roar, whilst he's gone. You know, these players love their clubs, and if they stay on after, you know, after their playing careers, they'll always do what they can to help the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Similar position to Joel Griffiths in Newcastle. Hopefully he's going to be around the club for many years to come. Now, the last thing before we get into the preview on the game, Graham Arnold, I'm pretty sure he re-signed a contract for another 2 seasons. Was that correct?
Yep, so he's going to be Sydney FC's longest-standing coach.
Yep, yeah, because you guys have certainly had some turnover in the last 10 years of the A-League.
Yeah, it's quite surprising if you think about it when you have Graham Arnold 5 years and Levitska for 2.5 or 3 years. Oh. How many other coaches that came in that gap?
yeah, absolutely. It was casting your mind back to the good old... the good old Terry Butcher days and Pierre Littbarski and all those guys. Yeah, we all remember. He signed for 2 more years, but is there any talk of succession plans? Is any of the guys in the coaching staff being trained up to take over from him, or do you think you're going to be looking around for another experienced coach when Graham moves on, or you're not even really thinking of that?
Oh, look, I know... Tez has been overseas doing his FIFA Pro license, so wouldn't be very surprised to see McLinn to step through. Other than that, maybe, possibility of Corica, but I don't know. I think Corica kind of likes his role. But other than that, succession plan, I have no news on that, to be honest.
But Corica's your youth coach, or is he an academy coach?
He's an assistant coach.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, usually you'd think that an ambitious assistant coach would be looking to be trained up and then be looking to take, similar to what happened with Musket at Victory when Ange stepped away. He was able to take over from the role and then keep things ticking over to a fairly successful level.
Oh, at least Musket got one grand final, so yeah, that's pretty successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I'd love to see CBC step up. When you watch him on the field, he's got a good command of the team and his coaching. He's still got some skills too.
Yeah,
I've seen him play a couple of times. He's still pretty decent.
yeah, need to get him on your five-a-side team.
Oh, mate, our co-five-a-side goes off. We have all the old players come down and have a kick around. It's good fun.
Good stuff. All right. Well, we'll jump into the preview now just quickly for your game. So Saturday night, 7:50 p.m. kickoff sees you hosting Perth Glory. How have you seen Perth Glory over the last couple of games? I mentioned when I have a chat with Blaine that you guys are unbeaten against them this season. You've scored 11 goals to 2. Have you seen anything in the last couple of games from Perth that make you think that may not be the case? You may not have it so easy this game?
Look, to be honest, I watched Costa. He played really well last game. Keogh, he played well. Both goal scorers, Costa setting up, Keogh for that goal. So I think these two are starting to kick in and get into some decent form. Defensively, I don't know, they've had some shockers. And,
yeah.
What team has a good defensive team when they've got Mark Warren on their back line?
That's very true. Well, he came from you, didn't he?
Yeah, he was horrible.
Well, he's not been like massively horrendous this season, but he's still. I think I mentioned to Blaine that you can't really. It's not very often you hear great defence and Mark Warren in the same sentence. So for you guys, you've had the week off. I asked Blaine the same question. I'm going to ask you. Do you see that the week off benefits Sydney FC, or maybe it's a hindrance? Because obviously these are finely tuned athletes, and sometimes when you're not playing, when you're not in that rhythm, you break that rhythm up a bit. That can possibly have an adverse effect on your physical levels. You go off for a week. You're not necessarily as switched on as you could be. Do you see that maybe as a danger?
Look, to be honest, the club played an intra club match with some of the youth, and some of these youth were so run off their feet. They didn't actually play in the NPL game against Sydney United. So I think that was a pretty tough game,
yep.
From what I've been told. So the break has benefited Sydney FC, and that's the main reason for that will be the recovery of Ninkovic. That's where it's benefited us. As for psychologically playing, they did play one game, like full 90 minutes behind doors, and from all reports, it was pretty fast.
Yep. Oh, well, sorry about Ninkovic, by the way. That was... A lot of our own supporters didn't really think that was a very good tackle at all from Kanarovsky on him. So sorry about that. All right, so you mentioned a couple of players that you saw when they were playing the last couple of games. Which of the players are you going to have to keep quiet to make sure that you get the win in this game as well?
We need to put Liam Reddy in the back of the net.
I'd be more worried about him running towards halfway than anything else.
Oh, mate, I hope he does it again. that was shocking. But honestly, I'm not worried about their defensive line. We really need just to put Costa and not put any hard contact on him because he will just fall over like a paper plane.
Yeah.
But just need to put someone on him pretty much all game. You know, probably... I don't know yet. I don't know who's going to be playing on him yet.
Yeah. Well, speaking of your guys, do you have any injury worries for this game, or apart from Ninkovic, or does everyone look like they're going to be fully fit?
Everyone looks fully fit, except obviously Sebi Ryle's still quite ginger. He's still he's training, but he's not full. Strength yet.
100%, yeah. Well, does it look like Ninkovic is going to recover in time, or maybe he'll probably be put on the bench and maybe make a cameo in the last 20 minutes?
Ooh, I think it might be the other way around. I think he might start and then they will put someone on to replace him.
So it'll be Murley. So get him off at 60, 65 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. To make sure you guys get the result, which of your players are going to be pivotal?
I reckon Bernie Abini and Holosko running at Marco.
Yep. So targeting their fullbacks.
Yeah, 100%. That's what Sydney does. They just run at all the time.
All right, no worries. Well, money down, mate. What's your prediction for the game? Is it going to go to extra time, and what's the score going to be?
I got told 3-0 by a certain player.
Well, they're confident. They're nothing if not confident.
I don't think we'll go to extra time in this one, which will be great for us. I'd say maybe 2-0.
2-0 to Sydney.
Yeah.
All right, nice one. All right, mate, Southie, really appreciate it. If people want to hang shit on you on Twitter, how do they get in contact?
Oh, mate, SSouthie_SFC. I'm always there. I'm some little clown at the moment, so...
Good stuff, mate. Mate, look, really appreciate you making the time. Thanks very much, and good luck on Saturday.
All right, take care, champ.
All right, so we're very pleased to welcome back from the Far Post Perth podcast, Blaine. Blaine, welcome back, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Thanks for having me on again.
No problems at all. Well, it's congratulations for getting through the game on Sunday, 2-0 against Melbourne City, but it seemed a pretty one-sided affair, didn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I was quite shocked with how lackluster Melbourne City were. I said to you last week, I said if we can just stop that that delivery to Cahill and Fornaroli and the likes, I think we could come away with the result. And it seemed to work absolutely down pat. And I don't think Melbourne City had a decent shot on until 80-odd minutes or even later than that. So it all seemed to fall into our lap. It's seemingly easy. So, yeah, it was. We walked away pretty happy.
Do you think it was a question of their mentality, or did they just show up with Valkanis using completely the wrong tactics? And there were some pretty questionable selections there as well. He dropped a couple of players. Bratton dropped out, and they brought in a couple of youngsters. It looked like he was sort of trying to throw the dice and make something happen, so that you were a little bit different than that 5-4 game that took place the previous week, but it completely and spectacularly backfired.
Yeah, absolutely. Kenny Lowe mentioned in the week that, those tactical changes by Valkanis, it fell straight into our lap. And it virtually played to our strengths, with our plan on the counter-attack. And there wasn't as many ways to, you know, repel that those counterattacks as they did in previous encounters. So, yeah, no, it was a bit of a stuff up there by Valkanis, I think. And I think it seemed to show with the Melbourne City players, just they didn't look up for it at all. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, not to take the shine off your guys, obviously, you perform really well. You kept hold of possession. I mean, I watched both games. I watched a little bit more of the Friday night game rather than Sunday one because I was doing other stuff. But the Friday night game seemed to be pretty end-to-end and pretty equal, and obviously went to extra time and penalties. We'll obviously talk about that with the other guys. But the Sunday game, you guys just seemed to have most of the lion's share of possession. But the possession that Melbourne City did have, they didn't really seem to know what to do with it. And but you guys kept the ball really well and moved it around and just looked comfortable. And you didn't have to go all out blazing attack. You just controlled everything and you basically pounced when it mattered and you made it count.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we played a very good tempo game. Our defence was brilliant. Roston Griffiths in front of that back four was superb. Even guys like Mark Warren, Dino Djulbic, the new Romanian bloke Goyan, all just lifted their game and repelled pretty much anything that City had. So, I mean, 2-0 up by 30 minutes. I was down at the Elephant Wheelbarrow in Perth, and I think we all thought we were in dreamland for a second.
Yeah, well, you don't usually hear the words Mark Warren and great defence in the same sentence. So, it is a bit of a dreamland sequence, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely! But he was superb. He kept Bruce Kamau out of the game quite well. Who we all know Kamau can be very, very dangerous. So, full credit to Mark Warren and the guys at the back.
So who were your standout players? Was it mainly the defence that stood up, or was there a couple of other players that you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's we've conceded way too many goals this season, so to keep a clean sheet was superb, and it gave us a real good shot at it. We knew Melbourne City had goals, or have goals in them. You know, they've got the ability to score. So it was, we were going to, play to our strengths a little bit more by keeping that clean sheet. Castro coming through the middle was superb as always. Andy Keogh was brilliant once again. Goyan, Risden played a great game. Roston Griffiths. Yeah, so, I mean, we had some good players all over the park that just won their individual battles, which obviously helped the collective cause.
All right, so switching to the semi-final this week. So Saturday, 7:50 p.m., sees you taking on the Premier Sydney FC at Allianz. You haven't beaten them at all this season, and they've scored 11 goals against you to your two. Did the way you played against Melbourne City, will that work against Sydney FC, or do you think Kenny Lowe's going to have to change things up a bit?
Oh, mate, it's a difficult one. We've played with pretty much a similar kind of lineup and similar tactics for the last 2 weeks against Melbourne City. Whether that works against Sydney, I'm not really sure. But at this late stage, you might as well go with the formula that's working. In my opinion, no matter who you play against, because that's obviously our strongest kind of tactics and our strongest side at the moment. So it's going to be interesting. Graham Arnold's a great manager, and he'll play some mind games in the week, and he's very, very good and does a lot of research into the opposition teams, and changes his lineup up accordingly. So it's going to be really interesting to see how both teams come together.
Where do you see Sydney FC's weaknesses that Perth can exploit?
Oh, mate, they're a great side, aren't they? They don't have too many of them. They've got...
It's the $60,000 question, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And it might just come down to whether we get the roll of the dice kind of on game day.
Yeah.
There's a fair bit of optimism made around it because, I mean, essentially it's a free hit for us. The way we look at it, the pressure's stacked on them just due to this kind of silly final system. I'm a bit of a traditionalist, mate. They've been by far the best team all season long, and they deserve to win the league and get all the accolades. All
right, no worries. So, actually, does the other question I had was sort of related to them, but obviously to you as well. They've obviously had the week off where they got to sit back and watch you guys play against City. Do you think actually having the week off benefits them at all, or do you think that playing through it and actually keeping the match fitness up and you're keeping the rhythm and the fitness levels, do you think that's more of an advantage, or do you think having the week off actually gives any advantage to that team having that break?
Yeah, it really depends on how they respond, and this is where the leaders in the groups need to kind of, and the managers need to kind of get the boys back up, because it's going to stuff your momentum, you know, ever so slightly. Just having that week off, your foot might not be on the gas as much, and you might just lose that little bit of concentration. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to that. I'm not sure if it's a hindrance or a kind of an advantage, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they come out, and if we can get a couple of early goals, then hopefully they're a little bit flat early on, coming off an extended kind of break, and we give ourselves all the chance.
Yeah, no, I could see the week off being an advantage in like a European season where you're playing towards this end of the season, you're playing sometimes two games a week, but when you're only playing once a week, it can not necessarily be an advantage. So it's good to get your opinion on that. It'll be interesting to see what actually happens. So final question before we get the prediction: what players in your team are really going to have to step up, and which ones are going to be pivotal to get a great performance out of to be able to get the win over Sydney?
Yeah, well, we just need to be solid at the back. You know, we've conceded as many goals this season as what was scored, so we know that we've got goals in us. It's just a matter of keeping them out at the other end. So guys like Dino Djulbic, Lucian Goyan, Risden, Griffiths, those kind of guys. But I think it'll take definitely guys like Taggart and Castro and Keogh to also track back and help out the guys, in defending.
Yeah, they're going to have to be clinical. Do you have any injury concerns for this game, or you basically got a full squad apart from your long-termers?
Yeah, no, I haven't heard of anything, any other news this week. It'll be interesting to see. I think the sides will probably come out tomorrow, being Thursday.
Yep.
So, as far as I'm aware, we've got pretty much everyone available except for the long-termers.
Are you envisaging Kenny Lowe making any changes at all? Do you think he's going to run with the same team he ran out with on Sunday?
You might possibly bring in someone like a Reece Williams just to stamp his authority a little bit more at the back. I mean, he plays a great ball out and he's a very, very good defender, as we all know. So it depends what kind of headspace he's in.
Yeah, that story keeps bubbling along, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's a little bit unfortunate that we're still getting distractions like that at this time of year. But yeah, no, I can't see too many changes on Kenny's behalf, no.
All right, no worries. Well, money in your TAB account down. What do you reckon the score's going to be at full time, and will it go to extra time?
I'm just going to say, I'll be happy if Perth come away with a win. I don't know. It's hard overhead with this one, mate. Let's go with Perth Glory 2-1.
Brilliant, no problems. Well, I don't want to put a tip down because I've been tipping against Sydney all season, and I've a sneaky suspicion that's why they've been getting tracking through almost undefeated. So I'm not gonna put the jinx on you. I'm just gonna wish you luck on Saturday and Allianz Stadium, and I hope you get through. And if so, we'll speak to you next week, mate. Thanks very much for joining us. If people want to check out your podcast, just give us the links again.
Yeah, mate. Just check us out at the Far Post Perth on Facebook and Twitter.
All right, Blaine from the Far Post Perth podcast. Thanks very much for joining us, mate.
Thanks very much, Grant. Cheers.
All right, well, we welcome back after their victory on Friday night. We welcome back Ben from the Rawcast, mate. How are you going?
Oh, yeah, not too bad. It's, we never do it easy, do we?
Well, no. I mean, speaking about that game, we'll have a quick chat about that before we have a look at the game you're going to play on Sunday. The game against Wanderers was pretty even, a lot more even than I thought it would be, actually. But, again, you guys managed to hold out and make the penalties count when it mattered.
Yes, I think we're definitely free of the Buriram curse from a few years ago, where That was the most thrown penalty shootout I've ever seen. But, yeah, look, I think in A-League finals, we do the business. And we do the business, whether it be with penalties, whether it be with, you know, late drama of some description. We always seem to do the business at home, and now it sets us up for this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the comparing the two games that took place, the Brisbane Wanderers game was certainly the more interesting and engaging contest. And how
well,
was it in
well,
the stadium?
Well, it was a contest.
Well, exactly right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you weren't starting off on the back foot with the wrong tactics and the wrong team. But yeah, how was the game actually in the stadium? And what was the penalty? How was the nerves during the penalty shootout?
Oh, look. I had to watch the first 70 minutes back because I was actually running late.
Oh, really?
To the game. I had to watch the first 70 minutes back on replay. I caught the first 15 minutes of the second half driving to the pub, and the next 10 minutes walking to the stadium, and got in on 75 minutes. And usually I'd be disappointed, but I got an extra, you know, 40 minutes of entertainment. So, you know, not too bad, not too bad. But, look, the whole second half was really us being very dominant, having a lot of chances, you know, whereas the first half was very much, you know, the opposite. It was Wanderers having all the clear-cut chances, Theo having to make some rather spectacular saves. And, yeah, it seemed to be a game of four halves almost, because the first half of extra time then was all Wanderers. And Theo obviously getting injured in, you know, dramatic fashion, and Jamie Young coming on and making a spectacular save with his first touch. And, yeah, it was... then the second half of extra time was all us, and we seemed to have... You know, we've been to this. We've watched this movie before. We all kind of thought that we're going to get it, and probably get it late. And we certainly thought that more after Soterio got sent off. And yeah, it just wasn't to be in extra time. But once penalties came around, I thought, no, well, you know, we're good. We've been here before. We know what to do. And so it proved.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how was the nerves with Jamie Young having to come on in place of Theo? Because obviously you mentioned Theo did a fantastic job throughout the game, and then that incident that took place where he had to get subbed. Were you a little bit concerned, or had Jamie Young actually stood up pretty well when he'd actually been called upon in previous games?
Yeah, look, he's absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that he's the best. You know, we say number two in the league. I just think it's 1 and 1.1 almost. You know, it's definitely a close contest between the two in a lot of fans' eyes. And, you know, certainly on the pitch, there's not a lot of quality difference. Both have their strengths and weaknesses, obviously. Jamie Young's probably a little less of a distributor, but probably better as a shot stopper, and Theo's obviously very strong on crosses and you know, commanding the back four. So, you know, they have their strengths, but I don't think they really have, you know, distinct weaknesses as such. And yeah, Jamie Young's shot stopping ability certainly came to the fore within about 30 seconds of coming on.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, how obviously you mentioned that you thought that maybe Wanderers had a little bit more of the game in the first half. What was the sort of feelings at half time with the Wanderers getting a really late goal late into injury time of that first half? Were you thinking, or maybe the ghosts of previous semi-finals against or finals against Wanderers are coming back to bite you, or were you always confident that you'd be able to turn it around in the second half?
I think the general feeling was one of a little bit, you know, is history repeating here from last season? Obviously, the unmentionable game up here.
Yeah.
But look, personally, not I wasn't overly concerned because, you know, we had repelled basically everything up until that point, and I also thought that we were very much good for a goal. And, you know, obviously at the time, only having seen the second half, I was just thinking, okay, well, we're gonna score here. We then subsequently did, and I thought, oh, we're gonna push on. And look, the pushing on has been the problem for us this season. You know, when we've had a lot of draws. You know, Wanderers obviously, you know, take the cake on that front. But we were. I think the general feeling was one of confidence because they didn't seem to be creating anything that was causing us enormous problems, and we were creating them huge problems that whole second half. So. Yeah, personally, I wasn't too worried, but yeah,
it was pretty important that you guys managed to get the goal within the 10 minutes of the resumption of play in the second half. So the good old McLaren stepped up again after some good work from Borrello, but it was pretty important and a good occurrence that you actually were able to put the ball in the back of the net, and pretty much 10 minutes after the Wanderers did. So it sort of brought the contest back, and just from then on, it was pretty, even though there was no more scoring until the penalties, it was still a pretty engaging contest. But yeah, you're right, you guys had definitely had a lot more of the second half.
Oh, look, I think we did what we don't normally do. You know, we do normally leave the equalising goal late or the winning goal late. So, you know, for us to get that in the 55th was very unusual, and that's what gave me confidence more than anything. I think that we could, you know, go on with it in regulation time and then, you know, within extra time. So, any time it goes to penalties, I'm confident these days because this team hasn't given me any reason not to be.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, it was also, I think, interesting that both sort of coaches held back their subs a little bit, thinking that this game was probably going to go to extra time. So you did have some weapons in reserve there. D'Agostino did really well when he came on, I thought.
Look, Daggers is a real, you know, I think that if we do lose McLaren this off-season, as seems, you know, all but certain, I think he's a guy that can step up and can step up, you know, somewhat ably. I think, you know, the flashes that we've seen have been really good, you know, similar to what we saw of Jamie in Perth. You know, so I think, you know, with another year under the belt, with a bit, you know, just the little bits of game time that he's had, and he's, you know, he's obviously scored a couple of goals now, you know, that'll give him a load of confidence going into next season that he can really, you know, cement a starting spot of his own and, you know, go on with it. Similar to what Jamie did.
Yep, and it certainly helped that Sotirio got sent off with his second yellow card in extra time. That certainly gave definitely swung the pendulum in your favour.
And it also certainly helped that Thomas didn't have the pressure to take a penalty. Then we could take him off because he was absolutely cooked by the end of 120. As we saw with the footage of him celebrating on the sideline with the ice on the hammies, I'm very glad that he wasn't, you know, called upon, because I'm sure he would have put his hand up, but you know, he was we've seen him and other players be, you know, gassed on the pitch before, but I don't think I've ever seen it quite as acutely as with Thomas in that one.
Yep, absolutely. Well, now, obviously, 120 minutes penalty shootout, and then having to travel to Thailand, I believe. How did the team go in your ACL game, and were there any injury concerns from that game? Was it a regulation win? How did you guys end up?
So, we going into the game, we were bottom of the group, and we had to finish. We had to win both of our games and hope for, you know, a result that you know, was unlikely to happen.
Was going to help, yeah.
So I think what John did in taking the youth lads, basically, plus a couple of extras. You know, we had Jamie Young in goal. We had Thomas on the in the outfield with Luke Devere. They were really the only senior regulars that, that played. The rest of it was our youngsters and, you know, Arana and Pepper, who were, you know, widely derided by Raw fans as the, you know, the outsiders of the squad, you know, that we'd rather play young players than play overage plotters. So, you know, after seeing the squad that travelled, I was not confident, and we did come away with a 3-0 loss. And yes, Jamie Young also got a very nasty gash on his elbow after, you know, diving to attempt to save the first goal.
Yep.
From Wong Tong, because of a rusty goal fitting. Yep. He gashed the net up. Yeah. So the little loop thing that held the net in, you know, that you probably see around you know, council parks and stuff here, but yep. You know, not in a professional game. So, you know, the arm was very badly gashed, and you saw that there was bits of fat and muscle on the ring itself after the incident when they zoomed in. So, I'm a bit cautious about, you know, Jamie's health, and it seems the team are too, because there was rumours out today that we might be having to sign an injury replacement goalkeeper for the victory game, which would be just perfect.
is there any news on that at the moment?
There's no news on that. I mean, Jamie has been named in the provisional 18-man squad for the weekend, so clearly things are going reasonably, but with his healing and everything, so it must not be a, you know, huge concern. But there was that you know, scuttlebutt going around earlier today that we, you know, if he doesn't make it, we are able to sign an injury replacement. And yeah, there was a few names floating about, you know, some serious, some not. you know, from Mark Schwarzer to Tando Villapi. You know, I think we can take all of that with a grain of salt. We'll probably end up with Nijewski.
Yeah, well, why not? He's been to most of the other clubs. I mean, you could always try and. It's a shame that the Perth is still in. You might have been able to get Liam Reddy to come back, but
Absolutely. I mean, he'd love a one-game contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's more that he's going to get next season, I think.
All right. So looking at the game on Sunday, you've got to travel down to Melbourne Victory after you're coming back from Thailand. 5 p.m. kickoff at Amy Park. Should be a decent turnout, unlike the City game of the week before. So obviously, you mentioned that John held back a lot of his players for this game. So, apart from the Jamie Young issue, you don't think there's going to be too much other fitness problems or queries hanging over the squad?
No, I very much doubt it. And you know, I would imagine that Thomas Broich going over to Thailand is probably more of a case of. You know, because he only played the 60 minutes over there, as yep. And Luke Devere played 55. So the senior boys did get, you know, taken off quite early in that game. So I think, you know, as much as they can be, they'll be rested for this one. So I think we're going in basically full strength, except for the question mark around Jamie's fitness. But, you know, we had Avram Papadopoulos suspended as well as Corey Brown for the ACL game, so you know, no reason to bring them whatsoever, and they'll be well rested. Our back four will be well rested. The only real The only real question mark is what does John now think is our strongest strongest 11 and our strongest bench? Because we have quite a number of players in quite good form.
Yeah, exactly. Well, is he going to go with a similar lineup to Wanderers, or do you think he might look to tweak things a little bit?
I would imagine that it would be similar. You know, Avram's been absolutely tremendous since he arrived. I think that it will be him, probably him and Devere starting, because Devere's, you know, Jade North has had some illness concerns in the last few weeks that he seems to be very slow in getting over. So I would probably guess that it would be Luke Devere and Avram starting in the centre of defence for us. And, you know, Hingett, Brown, Young, and, a, you know, full strength top five as well. So we've got every reason to be confident, because we don't really have any form or injury concerns coming in. We can put out a full strength side, and you know, we're coming in with somewhat of a wet sail. You know, obviously the ACL result is kind of irrelevant because nobody played in it. You know, we've got some form and some momentum heading in, and it's that age-old question of, you know, does momentum count, or is rest more important coming in?
Yep.
You know, but, you know, Melbourne Victory for the last few weeks of the season, no great shakes form-wise.
No.
You know, no real momentum coming into the final series. So, maybe they would have liked to play a game in between just to actually get some. But we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, just having a look at Melbourne Victory's recent form, they had a win against Sydney, win against Perth. Then basically, until their final game, it was three losses on the trot, and they didn't look very comfortable at all. So the week might have done them a little bit of good. Obviously, winning 1-0 away, winning 1-0 at home to Central Coast Mariners in the final round isn't really anything to gauge a turnaround on. But you'd think that maybe Brisbane might be coming into this a little bit tired, maybe not as much, obviously, like you said, because John held most of the players back. But you just don't know whether the week off is actually going to do Victory any good or not. Whether they are going to come into it a bit fresher and maybe they've been able to hit the reset button in that week off and actually just look at starting this afresh and just do it game by game. But how are you thinking the game's going to unfold?
Look, you know, we have an incredibly poor record at Amy Park. I think across, you know, playing City and City Heart and Melbourne Victory, I think our grand total is four wins out of potential 27 there.
Oh, God.
So not a great record.
Nope.
All told. And look, you know, one of our wins down there was the famous, you know, 3-0 belting where, you know, with the, you know, 370 pass goal or whatever it was. And, you know, it's been a while since we've played like that down there and had the mental fortitude to go down there and play a strong 90 minutes. So, look, we're capable of getting a result. It's just whether, you know, as I said, you know, it's whether the momentum counts or whether the rest was more important, I think. And because I think we've got a very strong side that can definitely beat Melbourne Victory on its day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I'm more confident than I probably would have been at basically any other, you know, in basically any other season with a potential trip to Victory, purely because this side really doesn't seem to, you know, have a great deal of fear, and they've also got a extra motivating factor in that it'll probably be it's potentially Thomas's last game in the A-League proper. Obviously an ACL game to come, but, yep. You know, I think they'll want to send him out a winner, and they'll be doing everything in their power to do that. But, It's just whether we can get over the hump of that psychological factor of 4-27.
Yep.
And yeah, and over the fact that Melbourne Victory are a very good side, the last few weeks accepted, and whether we can actually, you know, beat them on our best day.
Yep, definitely. Well, there's certainly narratives aplenty in both games. So both games should be really good spectacles to watch. So time to put your money down. What do you think the score's going to be, and will it go to extra time again?
Look, I've already made a prediction on this one. 2-2.
goes
to penalties. What do we do in penalties? We win.
Yeah.
So I think that's the optimist in me speaking. But as you can tell, last time, I did the pessimist in me said that we would lose to a. last time I said that the pessimist in me said that we'd lose to a VAR goal.
Yep.
But I'm not really all that pessimistic about this game. I think, you know, we have every right to be optimistic.
Yep.
As optimistic as ever. And yeah, I'm going to go with that this time.
No problems at all.
No couching it. No couching.
No splinters on the arse from the fence. So you're jumping in there. Well, at least until penalties anyway. All right, no worries. Thanks very much for joining us again, mate. Good luck for Sunday. Again, if people want to check out your podcast, what's the social media channels?
Yep. So it's available on iTunes, SoundCloud, all your usual podcast players. It's The Rawcast, which we are also on Twitter and Facebook.
Beautiful. All right. Ben from The Rawcast, mate, thanks very much and good luck for Sunday.
Thanks, Ferns. Have a good one.
Well, I'm down, Benjamin!